Father, as we come to your word, we thank you for the fact that you are a communicating God, and we pray that as we look at your word, we will be able to learn from it and to understand the wonders that are to be found there. And we pray this for your name's sake. Amen. This is another in our series where we're looking at Paul and Timothy's letter to the Colossians. And it's quite a short passage, but it is key, I think, to understanding, because it's the section where Paul actually tells the Colossians what their conversion to Christianity means and how important it is that having learned that, they cling to the faith that they've received. So it's in three distinct parts as Paul tells the Colossians what they once were, what they are now, and then the importance of holding on. And I'll look at each of those in turn, but first let's just recap what we've seen so far. So it'll be helpful if you've got the Bible in front of you. It's on page 1182. And there's the letter to the Christians in Colossae. And Paul and Timothy began the letter by pointing out to the Colossians that he and Timothy always gave thanks to God when they prayed for them, because they'd heard so much about their faith in the gospel. And in verses 9 to 14, we saw Paul's own prayer for the Colossians, and the part of that section that I want to flag up in the context of tonight is there in verse 11, where Paul is praying for the Colossians to be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. So that word endurance. Endurance is a picture of keeping on going even when things are getting tough. If you've been on a long walk and you've still got a way to go, you keep on going. And then last week we were led through verses 15 to 20, which showed how Jesus is the only thing that the Colossians really need. You'll remember that Nick pointed out to us what he called the sufficiency of Jesus. Nothing else is required, because, looking at that section again, Jesus is, in verse 15, the image of the invisible God. In verse 16, he's the creator of all things. In verse 17, he's before all things. And in verse 18, he's the head of the body, the church. So that he's absolutely all that we need. Let me just reread verses 19 to 20, because it's essential preamble to what we're looking at tonight. This is why Jesus is so important. Paul says, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." That's what we've just been singing about, that the peace is made by the blood of Christ shed on the cross. And this passage is about the way in which that brings about a reconciliation. That's the restoration of a relationship that's broken down. So to begin with, Paul reminds the Colossians of how things used to be for them. And the first point I want to make is the relationship that you once had. The relationship that you once had. It's there in verse 21. "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behaviour. And notice just how sharply this is focused. Once you, it's personal, what you once were. He's been in the previous verses referring in generalities, now it's down to the Colossians, this is what you once were like. And it is an absolutely damning indictment. I'm using the word damning in a technical sense, that you're damned because you're like this. Some of you, looking at that little section there, may think to yourselves, well, it doesn't apply to me. I've never been alienated from God or an enemy of God. I've been a Christian for as long as I can remember. If that's you, that's fine, but you need to remember that Paul is writing to a church of converts, people who had converted to Christianity from other religions. And it's essential for them to realize what a great change Christ has brought into them. And it's still important for us, because what Paul is describing is a state in which millions of our fellow citizens are still living in. And it's only as one becomes aware of the nature of the relationship that we've got with God without Christ that we realize the importance of turning to him, realizing the importance of the need for salvation. So let's just have a look at the list. This is what the Colossians once were, and many of us here will recognize it as being where we once were. So the first point that Paul makes is they were alienated from God. Alienated means various things. It's generally used to indicate being estranged or separated or to be apart from. Aliens are strangers. They don't fit in. And there's a note of hostility in the word as well. They don't fit in because they don't want to fit in. And being alienated from God means you've turned your back on God and you don't want to have anything at all to do with him. And that means you can't have any kind of relationship with him. As far as you are concerned, he might as well not exist. And that's the way that the Colossians had been living. They'd been living as though God didn't exist. And that's the way that most of the people around us in Stapen Hill, in Burton, in the whole of our country are living their lives today. God means nothing at all to them. They are completely separated from him. They are alienated. But if that's not sufficient, Paul goes further. These people aren't just alienated, they had been enemies in their minds. Enemies. Not actively antagonistic, but deep down inside, all their thoughts, all their attitudes were actually opposed to God and his purposes. And why was that? Because of your evil behavior. You see, it's the people's evil behavior that's made them enemies of God. God didn't fall out with them. They fell out with him because they wouldn't live in the ways that were acceptable to him. And evil behavior here means behavior that's not acceptable to God, behavior that makes him angry. Not just the obvious things. In chapter 3 and verse 5, Paul refers to sexual immorality, lust, evil desires and greed, but they're just examples of evil behavior. What Paul's referring to is an entire way of life that demonstrates an hostility towards God, the me-first attitude, again, that we see all the way around us, that puts me at the center of my thoughts, living for yourself and nobody else, and God's nowhere in that picture at all. And it's the position that we're all in if we try to live without Christ. We are all left to our own devices, alienated from God, wanting to keep him at arm's length and wanting to live the way that we want instead of the way that he wants us. And because of that, the relationship that God wanted to have with us has been broken down by us. Now, relationship breakdown is something that we see all around us. Husbands and wives split up. Children fall out with their parents. Brothers and sisters fall out. And then they refuse to speak to each other. And it goes on for years and years, and nobody can remember what the original concern was. I can remember a case that I was involved in where I asked a client to let me know the address of his sister so that I could write to her. And he didn't know it. He asked the family that he was in touch with, and they didn't know it. Nobody knew her phone number. There was no way of making contact with her. She dropped off everybody's Christmas card list. And that's not unique. I've seen people nodding because you all know instances of the same thing, and you may even be in that situation yourselves. And the breakdown of a relationship is always a very sad thing. But when the relationship that's broken down is the relationship with your Creator, it's not just a sad thing, it's a tragic thing. Because it leaves you without any hope in the world. It's not as though being separated from God means that God ceases to exist. He's still there. He wants a relationship with you, but you're turning him down, and he longs to have you back. So to be alienated from God is just about the worst position that anyone can be in. But here's the good news. It doesn't have to stay that way, because God has brought about reconciliation through Jesus. God has brought about the reconciliation. It's there in verse 22. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. But now. And that phrase, but now, Paul is flagging up the great change has happened. Once you were there, now you're here. You are reconciled with God. The relationship has been restored. You were alienated, an enemy, godless. Now you're reconciled, holy, without blemish and free from accusation. There could not be a greater contrast than that which Paul is describing. And it's not because of anything that you've done. He has reconciled you. He's done all that was necessary. You didn't reach out to God. I didn't reach out to God. We didn't reach out to God. God reached out through Jesus to bring about a reconciliation, and he did that by Christ's physical body through death. Verse 20, just before our reading, explains it slightly more fully. God brought about this reconciliation by making peace through Christ's blood shed on the cross. That's what it took to bring about this reconciliation. Jesus died so that all the things that made it impossible for us to have a relationship with God could be taken away. He took the punishment we deserve so that we could restore the relationship and we could become friends with God as God always intended us to be. If you look back again, look back at verse 13, and it explains it more clearly. He rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, It's that same transformation from the dominion of darkness over there where you were alienated from God into the kingdom of the Son he loves. It's an incredible transformation. And he's done it so that you can be presented holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. What that means is that no one is accusing you anymore. Free from accusation. Nobody is accusing you anymore. Your evil behavior, the sins that you have committed, have all been washed away. They're not there anymore. They don't count anymore. You are over here, holy, in God's sight, because of what Jesus has done. Paul wants us to see that this transformation is the greatest thing that can possibly have happened to them, and it's the greatest thing that can happen to us. Because what it means is that on the final day, on the day of judgment, when all the people who ever lived will come before God and be judged by him, they, the Colossians, the people that he's writing to, and we who place our trust in Jesus, will have nothing at all to fear, because Jesus will present us as holy, without blemish, and free from accusation. All the things that he's accused us of before, the hostility, the attitudes, the behavior, all the things that had alienated us from God have gone away. And instead of being presented as enemy aliens, we are presented as being holy, without blemish, and perfect in his sight. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moving from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. You need to maintain your position. Maintain your position. Paul is writing about a reconciliation. A relationship that had broken down has been re-established by Christ's physical body. But when a relationship has been re-established, you've got to continue with that relationship and make sure that it will endure. It's no good being reconciled with your sister and putting her name on your Christmas card list if you don't then send her a Christmas card, and if you don't from time to time phone up to see how she is. You've got a new relationship that's been restored by Christ, and you need to keep that relationship enduring. So Paul tells the Colossians that they need to keep a firm grip on it and not to let it go. They need to make sure that they're not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. The gospel that they've heard from Epaphras, the gospel which Paul says has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. And in verse 5, it's the word of truth. This is the gospel, this is the information, the knowledge that has brought about the transformation and that has established the Colossians as being holy in God's sight, and they must not let it slip away. Let me read verse 5 again. The hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you have already heard about, the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. That's the gospel. Don't move from it. Don't let go of it. And that message that Paul is writing to the Colossians is absolutely significant for us today. Because all of us have had that relationship, the relationship that God wanted to have with us, restored through Jesus' death on the cross. Like the Colossians, because of what Jesus has done, we can be presented before God, holy, without blemish, and without accusation, if we continue in the faith. So why wouldn't we continue in the faith? Some people just slip away through a kind of complacency. They've come to church, they've been to a few services, they've heard the gospel being preached, but they can't really see why it needs to affect the way that they should live. They can see that maybe there are some things that need changing and one day they'll get round to doing it, but not just yet. So they've come to church, but there's no real meaning in it. And if there's no meaning in it, then it ceases to be important and they slip away, they stop coming. Are you in that position? Do you know someone in that position? Don't let it happen. Don't let it happen to you. Don't let it happen to anyone you know either, because people who drift away are losing the hope that the gospel has brought them. The message is that Jesus died for you and you can be presented before God without blemish and free from accusation. It doesn't matter what you've done in the past. Jesus has brought about the reconciliation, but you need to keep a firm grip on that fact. That knowledge of what Jesus has done needs to remain in the forefront of your thinking. Don't let it slip through your fingers. I've mentioned complacency. There are other things as well. Work, family, money, all kinds of things that demand your attention. Sunday's the only day you can go shopping. But you don't have to go at 6:30 on a Sunday evening. There are all kinds of things that can pull you away from the gospel. And what Paul is saying is, don't let them. Think of what they might be. Think of the things that, as far as you are concerned, are pulling you away from the gospel. And if you think about what they are, then you can deal with them. You can say, no, it's more important that I concentrate on the gospel that I've received. It's got to be a priority. It's got to be the main thing to stop your faith from slipping away. And one way of avoiding that happening is by reminding yourself of how far you've come. I said before that not everyone here will remember a time when they were alienated from God. But we all were at one time, even if it was too far ago to remember, even if it was when we were too young to realize. And so many people are still alienated from God. And we need to remember them too. So that Paul wanted the Colossians to realize what a great transformation had been made, because by looking at that transformation, it makes it less difficult. It makes it easier to hold on by remembering where you've come from. So don't lose the hope that Paul is offering here of being presented as blameless on Judgment Day. Don't slip back into the position of being alienated and cut off from the hope of the gospel. Hold on. Don't allow yourself to be moved. Place your trust in Jesus. And if you do that, nothing will move you back again. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for the way in which you have transformed all of those who place their trust in you from the realms of darkness into the kingdom of the Son whom you love. Father, we recognize that we've not done that by our own efforts, that it's been entirely your doing, and that in order to do it, Jesus had to die on the cross. Help us to remember, Father, the great things that have been done for us, the transformation that has occurred. And please help us, Lord, never to lose sight, never to forget, never to lose our grip, and never to be moved from that faith. And we ask this for your sake. Amen.